805. Oh, Bob, I don't know. You're 805 could be a bit of a stretch for me.
All points closes at 7:58.
Oh, okay. So a couple minutes to get there. We got about 10 minutes to wrap this up. Not a problem. So this is inadvertently kind of part two to my message, my previous message, which I didn't know how to part two. My previous message was on God preparing us for the jobs he has us. And my point was, you know, God will always prepare you for what he has for you. And after I said that, even while I was writing that message, it was just going through my head that something's wrong. I'm missing something. There's something in this. And I was like writing it out going, God, what is it that I'm missing? Because I feel like I'm giving two-thirds of the story. And I'm just like, what is it? And I'm just going over my notes going, there's something here I'm missing. And I'm preaching it and I'm going, okay, God, no revelations. Why is it? Oh, well, whatever. It's probably just me being me. And a few weeks ago on Easter, we were at the house and something came up. And Sean spouts off and just, you know, said, so I don't remember what he said, but his response to the situation was, I'm a grown man. And I avoided smiling at him because I remember when I was his age and I remember that thought going through my head. And I just kind of like filed that away, didn't think much of it. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I got to church and pastor had asked me about a kind of a addition to my job, a training position that I have at work. And I said something along the lines of, oh yeah, I think everyone just kind of, no one's quite sure I actually have it because it's not official, but everyone's kind of like, yeah, Chris is the trainer, we think. And I said, but I think the thing is, I just need to step up and shoulder that burden. And pastor says, exactly. And I was just, yeah, okay. But it hit me that was not pivotal, but there was something in that I was a bigger thing. And I was sitting back there before service and I was mulling it over and I'm like, what was in that statement? And I go, when I was Sean's age, I didn't know that. I would not have thought about shouldering a burden. To me, I was, you know, in Sean's place, I was 18. I get X, Y, and Z. You know, not quite. I knew 30-year-olds who I was more mature than. So I didn't quite understand why people didn't treat me like the mature adult I was. I mean, should be nice and easy, right? I'm acting mature, right? But I'm also the guy who lived at home till I was 23 because there was no pressure to get out. There was nothing, you know, no understanding. No, why push myself? I liked life nice and easy. And I felt no compulsion to push ahead and to shoulder those responsibilities. You know, I was a manager at our assistant manager at a Burger King. Shouldn't you treat me like a manager? Shouldn't all my associates at that place treat me like a manager because I have the title? And I was just, you know, I was like, oh, okay. And honestly, none of this stuff occurred to me when I was 17 to probably even 25. And I was just thinking about it. And, you know, as I was sitting back there before service on Easter, I was mulling this over. And I was just, you know, what is the point here? I mean, there's the idea of shouldering responsibility. And it clicked. That's the other half to God preparing us, is us stepping up to shoulder that burden. We have to do that part. God could lay out an entire pathway for me to follow. But if I don't step up, there's no heart behind it. There's no connection and there's no drive to do it. I will sit in the shadows and do nothing and do, oh, God said I have to at a minimum do this. Okay, I reached the minimum, that's it. And I will just coast through whatever God's plan is and avoid the blessing and avoid seeing the work that God can do through giving your all. And I was like, oh, and I started jotting down a few notes. And then George got up to preach on Sunday morning. And I was, you know, and it struck me that there was something in there about God working in us and God being there, even at those times where we've told God to get lost. And I've done that. I've told God, go away and don't come back. I don't need you. I don't want you. You're nothing but a harm in my life, and I can do better without you. Luckily, he ignored me. There is that too. But yeah, that whole striking me dead would be a bad thing. But I think he goes, oh, you know, Jesus, there's that Chris guy. Just wait. He'll get some intelligence one of these days. And I can just picture God up there going, yep, he did it again. Okay, well, whatever. It's this grace thing. We're teaching him grace. And I was just in, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, George preached on that. That's an interesting note. And I took a note or two out of that. And I'm like, huh, yeah, I think my sermon on Wednesday is really going to be on this. And then Lawrence gets up. And Lawrence had actually told me that he didn't feel great about his message. And I said, really? Because that hit me exactly where I needed it. What you preached was exactly what I needed at that moment. And yeah, and I was like, no, I mean, and that's honestly how I feel. I get up here to preach, and I always feel like maybe I cleared the bottom of the trash can. And, you know, maybe I could do nothing. Maybe just hit and delete on the whole message would be the best thing I could do and just forget everything. But the number of compliments I've gotten from people tells me that has to be God working through me. And God goes, I think I'm going to bless the church through that guy, Chris, who used to be very unintelligent. And I go, God, how could you take that kid and turn him into somebody who can bless other people's lives? And God goes, oh, patience. And by teaching you about responsibility and preparation. I used all of that to help prepare you for where you are now and where I want you to be in the future. And even now, like even knowing that, even the way God has spoken my heart while preparing this message, I still want to run. I still could just sit back there in the sound booth, not get out of that chair again, and be happy. Because I'm under the radar. You know, God can't use someone who's flying under the radar. And I was just, you know, I was just mulling that over and going, okay, God, I understand about this preparation, and but what else is there? And then, you know, what else, how do you prepare people? And how do you work in their life? How do you set this all up to get them to take on responsibility? And I even asked my dad, I said, Dad, how did you teach us about responsibility? Because whatever my parents tried to teach me, I avoided it. I don't know how, but because I had to ask I asked my dad, how did you guys try to teach us responsibility? Because I didn't listen to a single word of it. And he chuckled about that. But I was also at work, I downloaded the audio Bible. Because I was burning through books on Audible while at work, because I can have my Bluetooth headset in and have bone conduction headset, and so I can listen to books. And I was burning through books, and God laid it on my heart. He goes, why are you listening to other books? Why are you burning through those books and not mine? Good question, God. Let me fix that. And I went on Audible and downloaded it, and I was like, well, I know I don't get as much out of listening to it. I tend to kind of turn it into background noise and tune it out. And God goes, okay, well, it's an audio book. Listen to it again. So I've started listening to it. And as I was listening to it, God goes, oh yeah, and here's a spot where I showed somebody the responsibility they have to take on. And I was thinking about that, and I was like structuring this message, and I hit the story. I hit where Solomon comes in. After, you know, David prepares all this, David is his dad, David sets all this kingdom up, and David is the man. David does all this stuff, and he's a great man, a great king, and then Solomon gets up. And when it hits 1 Kings 3, chapter 3, verse 5 to 15, Solomon is on his way to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. And it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and to keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. And I was like, that was the responsibility. I mean, you know, I mean, First Kings, I guess I've read that story, you know, First Kings chapter 3. I don't know how many times I've read that story. And growing up in children's church, the number of times I've heard that story preached to me, but it was when I was listening to it and thinking about the responsibility. If God showed up and said, okay, Chris, what do you want? I will give you something. Would I look at it and go, I need a wise and discerning heart to be the leader at my work, to be who I need to be around these people? Would I ask for a wise and discerning heart to get up behind this pulpit when pastors ask me to and to preach the word of God? And I don't know. After having read the story, I think I would. I think I'd be like, okay, God, I would like the money. I would like all this stuff. But you know what? You know what I need? Not what I want, but what I need is that wise and discerning heart to read your word and to teach it and to be the man I need to be the man that other people need me to be, and to be the man you want me to be, to follow you with all of my heart and to not turn aside. Because in almost every one of these stories in the Bible, you get this person who's, God has laid a responsibility on them and they're doing really great. And Solomon goes on and he has this great kingdom and he sets it all up. And then he turns aside. He gets distracted. I don't like to think, but I would tend to believe that he got comfortable. He saw this stuff. He saw everything working out and he got used to it. I mean, that's at least how it would go in my life. I would get used to what God is doing in my life. And I would go, yeah, this burden's not so heavy. I can bear this. Yeah, if I've borne this burden, that's not that hard. And I would just tend to lose track of it and not treat it like a burden. And Solomon knew in that time in Gibeon that while leading God's people, he would need the wisdom to lead. He knew that the people that God had placed in his control would need wisdom to lead them. He knew the value of those people before God. He said, your people. And he knew the value of those people. And he said, okay, well, in accordance with that value, this is what I need. For your people, this is what I need. And as a bearing the burden, he could have asked, I like to think that he could have asked for anything. I mean, God even says, because you didn't ask for this, this, or this. I can see myself in that situation going, yeah, I'd really loved all my enemies at my feet. That solves a lot of problems, doesn't it? If all your enemies are dead at your feet, that's a fairly easy way to rule a kingdom. Hey, I don't have any enemies. Guys, we're at peace. But Solomon knew his shortcomings. He said, I am not up to this task. I'm not up to, I don't have the power in myself to lead this people. I need a wise and discerning heart to lead them. And like I said, later in life, I feel he got overconfident and comfortable with what God had given him. And he got used to the weight of it. And we need to not take it for granted and to seek God's leadership on a daily basis and to seek the wisdom. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, this actually comes out of Lawrence's. He had actually preached on this, and it was his verse in there. And that's actually, God used that, and that's where it hit me. Is in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water. We need to check our counsel to see who we seek advice from. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, after he became king, went to his father's counselors. Well, the people came to him and said, okay, we have a heavy burden. Lessen the burden and we will serve you. And he goes to the counselors, his father's counselors, and he says, what should I do? And they get back to him and they say, lessen the burden and the people will serve you. And to us, that sounds easy. But I think of a guy who was raised in the court, who's raised in the shadow of David and of Solomon, and comes out of this and goes, well, this is easy. They did it. Why can't I? And in my mind, he, again, this is my interpretation. He wanted a power play. He said, if they can do it, I can do it. And so, okay, what's it going to be? And the older man said, no, lessen the burden. And at least for me, I always picture Rehoboam going, yeah, but I wanted that new chariot over there, and I can't do that without that tax money. And I wanted another wing on the palace, and I can't do that without that tax money. And you know what? They served my grandfather and my father. Why wouldn't they serve me? And so he goes to the counselors who were of his own generation, his own age, and he goes, okay, what should I do, guys? And they tell him, threaten them, basically. Again, my interpretation. This is my interpretation that they basically just told him, threaten them. And he says, I will make, it says, for he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke which thy father put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus thou shalt speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it thou lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay thee with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And again, all of this is my interpretation. I think he wanted to prove his power. And he'd gotten used to this power and seeing it displayed through David and through Solomon. And he did not understand the responsibility that was in this. He didn't have the heart to be like, this is God's people out here. What does God want me to do? What would God have me to do? How does God want me to lead this people? He saw it as my people. What do I need? What do I want? And again, my interpretation, I have to stress this. This is just my interpretation that he wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted the power. He wanted the money. He saw it work before. And he left God out of the equation. And he didn't see the people of God as a burden to bear. And I was like, yeah, how many times do I take that? How many times do I take that burden that God has laid on me and I just shrug it off? maybe not fully dump it, but I don't take it as seriously as I should. How many times have people in this church come to me and I have not given my all to it? Because that's not convenient. That's not easy. That's not nice. How many times have I shrugged off the responsibility that God has set before me? And God has said, here, here's a thing for you to do. It looks small. And I said, I'll get to it. Don't worry about it. I'll get to it eventually. And that is something that God is still working on me with. Wow, I guess we're not going to get out here in time for All Points Grill. Sorry. Oh, no. Just looked at the clock. Sorry. Brian just went. But oh, yeah. Sorry. My brain, I looked at that and my brain went, took off a rabbit trail. That's why I look down at my notes so much, is I got to keep on my stuff or I will go rabbit trailing and we will end up being here till 9 o'clock and I may get back to my notes. Yes, but as long as it comes from God, it's fabulous. If it doesn't come from God and it comes from me, we got a problem. But then, you know, okay, so sorry, back. Haul my brain back in order. Surely, you know, of course, before I got to the Rehoboam, I was thinking about Job. And, you know, I've always thought of Job in the sense of he was a very blessed man. I mean, he had it all. He had everything. He had sons, daughters. He had the wealth. But he didn't take it for granted. It says that when his sons would have a, you know, would have a party, he would sacrifice just in case. We're going to cover all bases here. And he, for the most part, through all of his struggles, he really tried to maintain his integrity. And he really tried to hold out. But he didn't understand. There was a speaker who one time phrased, you know, the lessons from a man in pain. And I keep thinking about that, about, like, I can easily see my reactions in how Job reacted. I do a good job, at least on the surface, when something goes wrong, about holding on and going, yeah, God's in control. God's in control. God's going to show himself strong in this. But way too often I end up at the end and I'm surprised that God is not the one where it says in Job 38, it starts with in Job 38, verse 1, it says, and the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And I think too often, because I don't take the responsibility of being a Christian and being a follower of God seriously enough, that my words are without knowledge. And in a way, I thank God, because I get to read that story. I don't know what would happen if the next time I go whining to God because it was a 13-hour day at work. How dare they do that? That God didn't show up and go, you know, there was this one guy named Job. You know what I told him? That he had words without knowledge. And I'm very, like I said, I'm very thankful for God telling Job that. Because through that, he can tell me that. Amen. And that shows more about the responsibility that I have. It goes deeper. As much as I don't like the responsibility because it's more work on me, I still have that responsibility at a minimum as God's creation. And as a Christian, I recognize God as my authority. And that means I have a responsibility to act like it. And it's part of that is that I need to grow up and mature in Christ to fully submit to God and to make myself the person that he needs me to be, and to be the person that the people around me need me to be, to reflect God and to show God in everything that I do. And if part of that is taking on more responsibility and shouldering that burden and understanding that burden to where I have to go to God and say, you know what, these are your people. This is your world. I'm talking to people you created at work. I need a wise and discerning heart to deal with them. So, Lord, break my heart so that I can help them. It's not about me. I need to shoulder that responsibility because it is for God, and He's the only one that can do it through me. And actually, I'm going to wrap it up there. I think I still have another half a page of notes, but I'm going to wrap it up there because of the time and because I'm actually so far off my notes, I don't know where I'm at. The last time I spoke, Bertha May had asked me for my notes, and I don't know if she actually noticed that. This one's the same way. I'm so far off my notes, I'm not sure how to get it from where I am to there. So I'm just going to close it out by saying that God has really worked on me through this about shouldering that responsibility, and why I need to is because every single person is created by God, and as a Christian, I need to shoulder that responsibility because I have a responsibility to God to act like every single one of you guys matters to Him, because every single one of you guys does. So let us all try to look at the people around us and look at our own lives. As much as you guys are valuable to God, I'm valuable to God. So if for no other reason than to be the person that God wants me to be, so that I can learn and I can grow and I can see God work, I need to shoulder that responsibility to become the person that God wants me to be. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for allowing us to be here this evening. And Lord, thank You for this message that You laid on me and everything that You've taught me, Lord. Help us to leave here and to seek You in all that we do, and help us to look at our responsibilities, Lord, and to see You behind every single one of those, Lord, and help us to gladly bear that burden. Help us to be a witness for You, Lord, and help us to leave here with a glad heart. I ask all this in Your name. Amen.